Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the podcast panel show that looks at the human race and tries to figure out how we can do better. We're taking suggestions from our panel, from our audience here at St. Andrew's Explorathon, and also from the natural world to work out exactly what the next stage in human evolution should be. I'm your host, Simon Watson. Tonight I'm joined by three bundles of stardust. We could call them stardust bunnies, if we wish, in the form of our guests. Tonight's judge, deciding which of the ideas is most deserving to be incorporated into our species. On my immediate left, it's Jay Lafferty. Yay. So, Jay, you are a comedian, you're winning awards and things. You've got a website. What's that called?
My website is www.watchthespaceproductions.com.
And if people go there, they can see where you're gigging.
They can see where I'm gigging, they can see the theatre that we're doing, lots of different things on there for you to have a look at.
Well, your role tonight is you're going to be trying to decide which of these ideas is worthy, okay? What are you hoping to hear? What kind of thing would you like to see in our species, maybe? How could they impress you?
How could they impress me? I am easily impressed, but I want to see some competition. I want to see some competition between their two scientists.
Okay, well, pitching ideas to see what we should incorporate. So on my immediate right, we have got Kate Cross. Kate, you've been doing lots at Explorathon tonight, and your main research interest is in the sex differences in human social behaviour. Does that mean that, like, you know, Jay is a stand-up comedian. I'm sure, like, one of the things they're always saying about, you know, men and women, they're so different. Are they? Because you've destroyed careers here if you answer this wrong. All right.
Particularly mine, yes. I would say, well, I have just been talking about this, and I have said, I have found some fairly strong evidence for some fairly small differences. I think there are differences in personality, in particular, between men and women. However, there is variation in the population in general, and the amount that you can explain by knowing whether somebody is male or female is relatively small.
Is that why comedians don't go that angle?
Yeah, I've never heard it done.
Okay, fair enough. We're also joined by Ninda Rachaudhry. You're a lecturer here at St. Andrews in English, and your primary industry interest is in cultural representation and collective memory of war and conflict.
The jokes just write themselves.
Look, it does sound like heavy stuff. Like, well, have you got a favourite book as regards war and death and conflict? Or anything?
Oh, they're all wonderful. There's a book called The Other Side of Silence, which is a wonderful book on partition, the India-Pakistan partition.
Okay, well, you heard it here. Recommend it. We're also joined, of course, by the audience here at St. Andrews University, the Beyer Theatre for Explorathon. Please give them all a warm welcome. So, before we jump into it and see what our panel would like to pitch, let's each put along some news stories to kind of show you what sort of thing is happening in the real world right now. How about we start with you, Kate? What news story have you brought along?
I have brought along a tiny fragment of a story about the development of a wearable kidney. So a little dialysis machine that you can just attach to yourself and go about your daily business.
That's
quite cool.
Should
you need one? You know, I don't, but...
Could I have an extra one?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you reckon? If you could have a spare anything, would it be a kidney?
No, it'd be a liver. Spare liver, awesome.
That tells me a lot about St. Yeah. Andrews that you all applauded. I think it does. Look, the liver's famous as one of the most regenerative organs as well. So if you are screwing up your original one, you're not doing well, actually.
It doesn't matter, because we could have like number two, number three, number four.
Why not? But this one you're talking about is technical, isn't that right, Kit? So it's not like...
Yes.
The real difference is that this is an artificial one as well.
Yes. So I think previously the solution, if somebody's kidneys don't work, is a very cumbersome machine, which means that they're immobile for a lot of the time. And so this one replaces that with something that enables you to have your kidneys replaced while you are going about whatever you have to do. You can't swim with it because it does weigh several pounds and has a 9-volt battery in it. So probably a good idea not to be careful with it in the shower, I think. But it's a great improvement.
Yeah, brilliant. What about you, Jay? What new story have you brought along then?
Oh, so I brought along a new story about the forthcoming head transplant.
Ooh.
Yes.
Go on, Beth.
You now have your head transplanted. It's only going to take 150 medical staff and 36 hours. So it's a small operation.
How far off are we then? What is this?
Well, according to Professor Sergio Canavero, which I think I'm saying correctly, he thinks he's going to do it next year. But most other medical experts think it's still a bit science fiction-y, but he thinks he's got a 90% chance of success. And I think, you know, head transplants, you know, we've got face transplants, where, you know, I think one day it may well come out of the science fiction and into reality.
Yeah.
And on that day, I am hoping that Jennifer Lawrence doesn't mind me having her body.
Yeah, they should call it the body transplant, actually, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should call it the body transplant.
What about you, Anidra? What have you caught?
So this is a slightly older story, but it is just brilliant, which is this Finnish computer programmer who lost his arm, needed an amputation, and designed one with a literal thumb drive. So there's a USB stick in his thumb, and all he needs to do is plug his thumb in, and he can do whatever he wants to do.
That's amazing.
Which is just brilliant.
Because you'd never lose it.
I don't know
how many USB sticks
exactly.
I have lost in my life.
How often do you go to a friend's house and they play some music and you're like, oh, I really wish I could take that away. And that's all you need to do. Plug your thumb in.
But can I ask, right, so can he leave his thumb behind? Like, is it like he plugs it in and then just detaches it and then like...
So that's my thumb again.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because then you just lose it again.
Yeah,
and if you lost the USB stick, that's fine. If you lose your thumb. You can't go to like Ryman's and buy one, I'm guessing.
Do you know, actually, I've thought that maybe the worst point of this is as technology moves on, like if this was a while back, would he have had like a mini disc thumb instead or something?
Well, I'm sure he'd be very happy to know that we've just dismantled his entire life plan.
No, but actually probably that's one of lots of people who are for this kind of human enhancement, they argue one of the best bits is that you can continually upgrade. So I don't know what will come after the flash drive. Like, because he just up the gigs every time. That'd be really quite brilliant. All right, ladies and gents, so that's the kind of thing which is actually happening right now. But let's leap forward into the future. Our panel's going to give us some ideas. Can we start with you, Kit? Try and impress us. What would you like to see in the next stage of humanity?
Sequential hermaphroditism. So, yes, thank you. this is an idea that I have stolen shamelessly from the plotline of an Ursula Le Guin novel called The Left Hand of Darkness. And she writes of a world where people are sexually undifferentiated throughout childhood. They're born neither male nor female. They reach young adulthood and they go through a process where they change every month, and they don't know whether they're going to change into male or female. And this just re-happens every month. So you could go through life, you could become a mother at some point, you could then become a father at some point. And assigning sex at birth is nonsense, because everybody is going to have every role.
Okay. Jerry, first of all, because no, actually, sorry, Kit, why? No, like that, because that's the important thing. You've gone into the mechanics, but tell us why this is a good thing.
Well, just think of the data I'd be able to collect. I'm serious. So the question that I'm getting asked most frequently is, so these differences between men and women, are they biological or are they social? Are they because you have certain hormone levels or certain physiology, or are they because you've been being told from birth, you are a girl or you are a boy, and this is what you're going to be like? And we can't disentangle these things. We can't go back to a point in development before socialization has kicked in. And we can't find a place on Earth where girls and boys aren't treated differently. And you can't give somebody, for example, testosterone in a lab without them knowing exactly what it is and having some preconceived ideas about what it's going to do. The ethics committee would have something to say about that. So, if there was no assignment at birth, if there was no history of being told you are in this role, and then you switched from month to month, then I could get you into the lab, and I could test you 1 month when you're male, and then another month when you're female, and that would give me a very clear indication of what the difference, the sex difference coming from the biological differentiation was.
So this is all just data collection as far as you're concerned. Playing with these people's lives. Fair enough, actually. Yes. That's a serious scientist being honest about this. Yes. Why not do away with sex altogether?
I think it would be a shame if humans lost the diversity of experience that comes with having male and female. I think rather than having the difference, rather than having male and female as a thing that separates us, we could all experience both, and we have the same amount of diversity in humans, it's just that we divvy it up slightly differently so that we all get both experiences.
Just think about the red tape. I mean, honestly, how would any big company know what to pay you 1 month to the next?
I know.
You know, what if you were pregnant, what would happen? How would this all work?
Do you have to go full hyena on it? Eventually. So hyenas, you might not know this, the female hyena has got a bigger penis than the male hyena. It's called a pseudopenis, and she gives birth through it. So it means that, proof of principle there, if you are going to change to dad after 8 months, things could get interesting.
By which I mean
excruciating. But, you know.
If she's a female hyena and if she gives birth through it, at what point does it stop becoming a penis?
What makes a penis a penis?
Yeah.
Well, if it's penis-y, that's more or less it. If it generally, honestly, biologists have no clue about these things. It's generally if something folds out or in. Same goes with lungs and gills.
See, I'm no biologist, but as far as I know, we don't give birth through our penises?
No, humans don't.
Not yet.
And Kate is trying to fix that.
The word fix and the word penis are far too close for comfort in that sentence.
No, see, I suppose the thing is that actually it does have disadvantages, but I don't know why we're going into this strange angle of the mechanics of this. I believe that a lot of the hyenas first born are born dead as a result, because it is very, very traumatic on the child more than anything else. So the rest of the litter generally survives. The first one's sort of sacrificial, so to speak. I want to see, is this in the short list? Tell us, Jay, does this go ahead? We can come back to it later, like if it's on the shortlist.
Let's put it on the shortlist just now.
Okay, then. You've got your work cut out for you. What do you reckon? What's your proposal?
Well, that was all well and good, but I've got something that's going to blow this out of the water. I think the next stage, we should stop being humans and instead become the Borg. For anyone who doesn't know Star Trek, it's this collective where everybody is connected to everybody and we stop thinking of ourselves as individuals. Because, you know, I'm tired of having to decide things for myself. I don't know what to wear, what to eat, what sex or gender I am, and none of it will matter. We'll be all one. We'll share everything. We'll own everything together. And it's going to be amazing.
Okay, this has been presented as a utopian idea, but...
Yeah.
Like, there's a slight problem with the Borg, which is sort of, you know, genocide, mass murder. We don't need that. But if you take away that, you know, small thing, the rest of it is amazing.
The Borg sound terrifying because of the loss of individuality, but you're praising the loss of individuality.
I think individuality is overrated. And as it is, we are not individuals anyway. We like to think we are. But, you know, if you look at the way people remember events they've experienced collectively, they will repeat their, tell their stories using images and themes that are common. We, you know, how if you take a group of, like, teenagers, how many of them will be wearing jeans at any one point? We eat similar food. We're not individuals. We like to think we are, but we're not. So just embrace it.
Would anybody like to argue with this man to prove their individuality?
There we go.
Can we get a mic to this gen, please?
In India, I love the Borg. I really do. I love Star Trek. But where would the music come from? Where would our individual ideas? That is by generally by the individual, driven by culture and pop.
It's not, though.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
If you stories date from before we start thinking of ourselves as individuals. Stories come from, you know, when we were in caves, sitting around campfires, exchanging ideas, exchanging stories. One builds on another, another builds on another.
Can I ask a different question, because this relates. So if this individuality is partly down to communication, surely it's also partly down to to experience. And we all have individual experience.
Yes. Well, the Borg, so we would all experience everybody's experience.
But then what do you talk about?
We talk about our experiences, and we don't have to talk about, like, you know, we don't have to talk about what we had for lunch. We could talk.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Talk about art and music and, you know.
Yeah, but if you've experienced art and music in the same way, then what is there to talk about? Because surely the thing is, if you individuals experience art and music and all sorts of creativity in individual ways and have individual thoughts about it, and therefore can debate, but if you all have the same consciousness and thought and experience...
No, but you, it's not so much you would... Like, you'd still experience things. You'd just imagine uploading all of that experience into one brain. And then you would all benefit from everybody's experience.
Okay. Mm. Come on.
No, I don't
I'm
like
something
it.
Like a. It's just slamming you down.
Yeah,
just
slamming. Yes. I don't like it. No, I am with Gary. I think music, creativity, individuality is key and important. And I don't want to upload it into a shared space.
Well, you've got members of the audience. I'm sure you can do better than our panel here. Who would like to go first? Who's got an idea for how they'd like to improve mankind? Could we get to this lady in the front row, please?
My name's Roslyn.
Roslyn, yeah?
And my idea is if your digestive system could digest pretty much anything.
Okay.
And if you could gain nutrients from everything, because then it wouldn't matter what you ate. You could just eat tofu all the time and you'd be fine. Or you could eat your food of choice and be fine. Or you could even eat things like bamboo and stuff like that. And that would solve world hunger because you could just find the thing that you can make most of most cheaply.
I love that you started with Toblerone, though.
And you know, wait. Toblerone? I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
I was thinking tofu because I was thinking something.
Oh, tofu. Sorry, I misheard you. I thought you said Toblerone.
Oh, sorry, but Toblerone's even better because, well, yeah, Toblerone versus tofu. I mean, you know.
Get this.
What are you going to pick?
Right. So, come on, panel. What would you, what do you think of this? Because bear in mind, this is competing with you as well, but...
Well, I can digest quite a lot, as anyone who can see me will attest. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I like it for just the idea of having more experience, because I've always... Do you know the way whenever you're growing up and your parents tell you, you don't eat those berries, they'll kill you, and you kind of think, forbidden fruit, I'd really love to know.
But it's like when you're little, you do try and eat anything, don't you? Dirt worms, all these sorts of things. And you wouldn't have to worry. Like, you've said, just as a child, you wouldn't have to worry about anything that they put in their mouth because they would just be able to digest it and get nutrients from it.
The one thing I'd say, though, I don't think it would solve world hunger because we'd just eat everything and then there'd be a shortage of everything as opposed to a shortage of food.
Yeah. No, you've got a very good point here, Rosalind, because the thing is, actually, I know that in human evolution, we've sort of lost the ability to digest an awful lot of stuff. Mm. So we had some more of these abilities. If you look at a chimpanzee and some of our relatives, they are much, much better at digesting a wider variety of foods. And the reason is because we learned to cook. And by learning to cook, which happened before we became humans, we now think, a lot of species before us were cooking. We basically outsourced our gut to the frying pan. And so we're actually able to get a lot more nutrients from a lot more things by cooking them. Would you be happy just if we become all like sort of super Hestons and just learn to cook stuff more?
Actually,
are we turned down? Well, look, sorry, this is up to you, obviously, AJ. Is there also a suggestion on the shortlist?
Yeah, let's shortlist it. Shortlist that.
A super gut.
Super gut.
Brilliant. We got any other ideas from the audience here?
My name is Michael. So my idea is really quite simple. It's like a tool that it can be like a software or a separate tool which helps you to record your thoughts, because I feel that sometimes when you're thinking about something, especially like for example in philosophy, your thoughts are kind of like Legos and you're building one on top of another and then it goes more and more. But then if you think about it later, you can forget either like individual steps of your thinking or just the whole thinking process as a whole. So I feel like, although it sounds very simple, it can really bring progress to the world very, very quickly, because there's so many people whose thinking processes are so complex, and the capacity of our memory, sometimes they can't, cope with that, I feel.
Yeah.
At least, I mean.
I love this idea. As a comedian, constantly I think, oh, that's funny. And then I write it down, and then I come back and look at it, and I can't remember what I thought was funny about it. And sometimes neither can audiences. And and so that would be great if I could just take that thought at that time and then be able to go back to it and have the exact thought and understand why I thought it was funny. Yeah, that would be great.
Is this like a brain screen grab?
See, if we had the Borg computer, we wouldn't need this.
But nobody would laugh at anything because everybody'd heard the joke.
Oh, you hear laugh at jokes you've heard before. We all do.
Hope so.
I
quite like this because I often will put something in an extremely sensible place that makes a great deal of sense at the time, and then come back a little bit later and it's gone completely. Yeah. And then I will ransack the house for an hour.
I do that all the time. I put things in sensible places, like keys, my husband, whatever it is, and then I can't ever find them again.
Jay, is that on the shortlist then? A brain screen grab?
Yeah, I was going to put it on the shortlist, but now I'm worried that somebody would be able to steal my jokes. So.
Do you know what just occurred to me? Have you never written anything down, mate? Because that's ultimately what that is. That's kind of.
If I'm understanding it right, it's like because I write things that I've thought down, but then when I come back to them, I can't remember why I thought it was funny. Whereas if you can download the actual thought, then you can have the thought again and remember why it was as funny as you thought it was.
I've got a comedian friend who did something very like that, where she quickly scrolled down like a set list and she'll be fantastic. And she went on stage and she I can't remember this. It was a shopping list. She picked up the wrong list. That was it. Milk? How am I supposed to do a whole intro on milk? What was going on here?
It's okay, that's all. Have we got time for maybe one more? Please, sir, what's your name and what's your idea?
Paul. I don't get hungry in the night, and I've experienced in the past of getting up at night, vegetarians like work, but I don't feel hungry, and I would like the ability to switch that on during the day, so it's some sort of controllable appetite control mechanism.
So are we talking a controllable appetite suppressant? Okay.
The women of Weight Watchers would not enjoy that idea. How would they make all their money?
Kate, what do you reckon to this? Because you know quite a bit about motivation and these kind of things, and suppressing desires.
And professionally, too.
Any ideas?
I think, well, that's funny. It's funny, it's similar to something I was thinking of suggesting, that being able to regulate the things that you find appealing in line with your long-term goals as opposed to the things that you might find immediately appealing. I think it would be... Well, it'd be very handy if you were, you know, somewhere where it wasn't particularly convenient to chow down on a hamburger or whatever, to be able to switch off that impulse. However, you'd need to make... Well, you get hungry for a reason.
But we don't, like, start chewing the person sitting next to us in the theatre in order to satiate ourselves. Why do we control ourselves already? If we do. Because, like, impulsivity is your research area. So how do people control their impulses? Because ultimately this man is asking for willpower.
Or,
and I know that we're not turning this podcast into therapy, but we may as well, as you come, you know. Yeah, how does willpower work? Does willpower work as well?
I don't really know how it works. I just know how to measure how much people have got.
Actually, okay, let's begin with that. Because also some people would say that willpower is a muscle. So if you can measure these things...
But it's not just about willpower, though, because can you really, like, will yourself hungry? Because the point was you want to feel hungry when you're not hungry. Mm. I'm not sure that's up to... that's.
Am I misrepresenting you here, Paul?
It's a desirable sensation when you can eat, when you want to eat, obviously.
Yes. But
if you don't want to put on weight, then you want to not eat.
In other words, you can will would allow you to control yourself from having to fulfill a desire.
Yeah.
But I don't know if will allow you to want the desire when it's helpful to have it.
Hold on, is this on the list then? Because we've got a couple of things.
Yes, I think I'm going to put it on the list.
Okay, so you've got quite a lot to choose from. But before we go on, we've got a suggestion coming all the way from Mother Nature herself. Jay, can you describe this to our listeners at home? What are we looking at here?
We are looking at a giraffe with a very long tongue.
Well, that's just all giraffes. That's because that's
with his tongue sticking out, rather.
I've been lucky enough to do quite a bit of research from a giraffes, and actually, I've always wondered. I don't know if this is just my ears or all ears, but whenever they're in zoo situations, I've had about 5 or 6 French kissing my ears now, and that's not pleasant. Bearing in mind that's like a 9-inch tongue, but the thing I'm going to suggest, if we're going to steal something from giraffes, is they've got the highest blood pressure of anything on the planet. And as a result, they have got the most incredible legs. These legs have been used to model G-suits. So they've got really constrictive connective tissue and stuff, which means that they... Okay, because you need a really massive heart and you need high blood pressure in order to pump all that blood all the way up to your brain when your head's up here. You also then have to have mechanisms to evolve, which mean when you're dropping your head to drink that you don't blow your own brains out with the blood pressure. But their legs are constantly under that pressure. So people are doing research into giraffe legs to make G-suits for people traveling in space. Oh. So I'm going to suggest that we all have giraffe legs so we can all go to Mars. Would you like to steal a giraffe's legs? They're long as well.
Yeah. No.
No, fine. Giraffes are out. Fine. Okay, then.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's not personal. It's the giraffe that you hurt. Okay, so we've got Kate's idea of... you've got quite a few to choose from. Mm-hmm. We've got Kate's idea of sequential hermaphroditism. Mm-hmm. And then, Jess, sorry, your idea's not gone through. Rosalind's idea of a super gut, which allows us to digest anything we like. Mm-hmm. And then we've Michael's idea of a sort of brain screen grab.
Yeah.
So you can return to your workings as you go. Paul's idea of an appetite switch for on and off. And that's it.
Actually, Paul, can we amend this to be able to like incorporate Kate's idea of actually changing our tastes as well? So perhaps we don't want to eat fried haggis, or we don't have to, I don't know, what else is really tasty and bad for you?
Mm. Flexible so that it's you desire certain types of foods at some time, like rump steak, and at others you wanted tofu, perhaps. Then.
Yeah, because if we could make lettuce taste of anything, I'd see it as an achievement personally. What do you reckon then? You've got all those ones to choose from. What are you going to go for?
I don't know. Could we, like, because I'm thinking if you could combine Rosalind's idea of the supergut with Paul's idea.
So not only would you be able to digest wood, but you'd actually want it?
You would want it as well. Or not. Depending where the switch was. I think I would like to... Can we combine those? Can we combine those ideas?
Hey, come on, you're the judge here. Yeah, you can do whatever you like.
I would like to combine Rosalind and Paul's idea, and we would have a super gut that could adapt to eat anything, and an appetite that could be switched on and off. So then, for instance, if you were... like George Clooney, if you were in space, trapped in space or
if
whatever.
If I was George Clooney, that would be the answer to many problems.
Yes, and soon you'll be able to put your head on his body, so that'll be fine.
It's not
or would you like to put his head on your
body? Can I just have his head and his body?
I'd go for that.
But if you were, like, say you were trapped somewhere, then you could switch your switch off, but then whatever came floating by, you could eat, and you would survive until you figured out a way to get back to Earth.
Okay, then. It's in.
Yay!
Please give them a big round of applause. Thank you very much. So, ladies and gents, before we go, because we're going to take that idea and take it back to your kind of fictitious boffins and sort of sprinkle it like some chocolate onto the, you know, primordial cappuccino of life. Before we go, though, I'd like for you to give a huge round of applause. We've had Aninda, we've had Kate, we've had Jay, we've had a giraffe. I've been your host, Simon Watts. Big thank you to Explorathon and St. Andrews for hosting us here at the Byer Theatre. Thank you and good night.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. This episode was created with the help of St. Andrews University and Explorathon, the European Researchers' Night. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com. Hello, me again. We have some awesome live events coming up. Please come along. We'll be at the Cambridge Science Festival on Thursday, the 16th of March, at the Wellcome Genome Campus with Samantha Baines and top-notch geneticists. On Wednesday the 22nd of March, we're having a comedy night, Stand Up Human, with some of our lovely guests at the Book Club in East London. We'll be at the Science Museum London Lates for a Royal Society special on the 29th of March with the Chase's Paul Cinna and Royal Society Fellows. Go to our website, Facebook and Twitter for tickets and information. You can support our podcast at patreon.com/leveluphuman.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.